The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are right in saying, 'I do not have a husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one speaking with you." At that moment, his disciples returned and were amazed that he was talking with a woman. But still, no one said, "What are you looking for?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman left her water jar and went into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could he possibly be the Christ?" They went out of the town and came to him. Meanwhile, the disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Could someone have brought him something to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, in 4 months the harvest will be here? I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. The reaper is already receiving payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper can rejoice together. For here the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing the fruits of their work. Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me everything I have done." When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, I'm telling you right now, you could label this homily Vintage Father Ken, because there's going to be, in 10 short minutes, a movie reference, a book reference, and we may even end with a little song. If you like my style, you're going to love it. If you don't, not so much. First, the movie reference. And maybe I can't help myself. Tonight's the Oscars. Turner Classic Movies is doing 31 days of Oscar. Geez, maybe I'm addicted. We'll get to that later. One of the greatest movies of all time. One of my favorite movies. In the mid-40s, The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. One of yours too, Bernie. Humphrey Bogart at his best. Tim Holt, you probably don't know him. Walter Huston, father of the great filmmaker John Huston. Directed by his dad in this movie, he won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. He plays an old gold digger, a prospector, and he meets up with Bogart and Holt in Mexico, two much younger down-and-out Americans. And they team up to go up to the top of the Sierra Madre, which in Spanish means Mother Mountain, looking for gold. And in one great scene, and Walter Huston's about twice their age, but he's in shape, and he's outpacing them, and he's gone way ahead of them. And they're so tired, they have to stop and take a rest. And in the scene, Bogart's looking at these gold rocks, and he takes his canteen and says to Holt as he's pouring water over the rocks to make them glisten, "Look, gold, gold." So he shouts to Walter Huston, he says, "Old man, come back here, we've found the gold." So Huston comes back and he looks and he says, "You found gold all right, it's called pyrite, fool's gold, ain't worth a thing." So they're looking at each other, and he says to them, in his wisdom and his experience, he says, "Next time you think you found gold, call me before you start splashing more water around. Water is precious, sometimes more precious than gold." And that is a great foreshadowing in the movie, because later, spoiler alert, after Bogart has abandoned one of his partners and shot the other and left him for dead, he's got the gold all right, but he has no water, and he's dying of thirst. Thirst is the theme in the readings today. The first reading from Exodus, no water in the desert. And we have the Samaritan woman having to, at the height of the day's heat, because she's ashamed to be seen in public, because she's had five husbands and is living with another man, she has to bear that scorching heat to get water for herself and her husband. And it's a metaphor, of course, for the thirst that we all feel and we all must quench spiritually. But you and I know that a lot of people are looking for what satisfies in all the wrong places. We're going to talk about two metaphors. The gold, whether it be pyrite, fool's gold, or whether it be real gold. In this context, there's not much difference. And we're going to talk about thirst. And here comes the book reference. I recently reread the novel, which is based on the diaries of somebody who was actually an officer on the Bounty. Three movies have been made about the real mutiny on the Bounty in the late 18th century. The Bounty was headed for Tahiti to get breadfruit. And Captain Bligh was so much of a tyrant that Christian Fletcher, his first officer, and many of the officers and crew mutinied successfully. And both mutineers and non-mutineers ended up in the South Seas, most of them on Tahiti. You talk about the long arm of the law. They'd been living there for 4 or 5 years. And another ship came, arrested all of them. They said, we'll put you in irons, we'll take you back to England, we'll sort out who's guilty and who's not in the trials there. Roger Byam, whose diaries were the basis for this novel, was innocent. And he writes the account in this of, or somebody wrote it, or based on his diary, of a shipwreck. The ship that had arrested them all was cracked up on a sand dune. And they spent weeks there on the sand dune, rationing water. Some men drank the salt water. Well, we know what that does. It's like Samuel Taylor Coleridge said in The Rime of the Ancient Mariner, the famous line, water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. Because in this real account, the men who did drink it went crazy. They went nuts, and they died, some of them. So, fool's gold, salt water. They're imposters. But you know, the world is always trying to get people to go for the impostures and not the real thing. The real thing that is God. The real thing that is, who is? Jesus. The font of living water, who is the only one who will ultimately satisfy us spiritually. There's a lot of people out there in the world running after the fool's gold and the salt water. The Samaritan woman represents people who weren't worshiping properly. The Jewish people had the fullness of the law of Moses. The Samaritans were sort of a break-off sect. They adapted and changed and perverted, quite honestly, the true faith and the revelation of God. We got a lot of people, a lot of them are our neighbors, family, and friends, who no longer worship in spirit and in truth with us. And they're running after all this, for example, New Age stuff, wearing crystals, worshiping angels. All this stuff is nuts. It's salt water. It's fool's gold. How can you believe in angels but never give a thought to God who created them? And we ourselves, my brothers and sisters, we can get sucked into the imposture or buying into the impostures. Because it's so tempting to take that shortcut. Being a faithful Christian and going to Jesus is hard at times, especially when fewer and fewer people seem to be doing it. And we might drink the salt water or go for the fool's gold. And that's why Lent is so important. You know, even I keep saying this, but it's true. Even the good things that we can enjoy, if we're centered in Christ and use them as means and not ends, the wealth or whatever it is that we possess, not an end in itself that's going to satisfy us and give us happiness, but a means to serve God and to spread His word and to help build His kingdom. But if we're running after the big car and the big house and the big job and the big salary and all of that stuff, and like that's going to work for us as an end, no way. Or if the things we enjoy, the gifts, become more important than the giver, we can get addicted to anything. Not just bad things. Alcohol in and of itself, used moderately as a gift from God. Drinking it too much, the road to perdition. The Samaritan woman was addicted to something. What was she addicted to? Men who were losers, evidently. Yeah. Or addicted to bad relationships. But she finds Jesus what satisfies. And if we have slipped away from Jesus, and for example, look at me. I could spend all day watching Turner Classic Movies. You know, watching a movie here and there, nothing wrong with that. I use them in my homilies. Watching it all day when I'm supposed to be focused on writing my homily, bad. And I've got to ask myself, you know, should I turn Turner Classic Movies off and focus on my homily exclusively? Do I really need to watch Casablanca for the 74th time? Probably not. And so Lent is a time to ask Jesus to take the living water that is Himself, in spirit and in truth, ask Him to wash us clean and to ask us to help us abstain from the excess and to get things in right proportion and prioritize properly. And there's no better way to be asked to be washed clean than drinking from the font that is the confessional, so that we can continue to drink worthily from the font that is the Eucharist. And we do that literally when we have both species, which I've heard some dioceses are already doing it, and I've heard talk, I got to get the whole story, that our diocese is working towards introducing both species. We know we get the full Christ from either the host or from the chalice, but we'll look into that, so stay tuned. Now here comes the song, because once we drink deeply, we have to bring others to the font. And we're, you know, I haven't done this in ages, so indulge me. I can get my ya-yas out now when I do things like Elvis at the talent show, so that's why we've had fewer songs in church. But this applies, and AJ's saying, I prepared you for this. This might be a little beyond your comfort zone, though. 1975, Lonely People. Yeah, that's more my era than yours. Who sang and composed Lonely People? What group? Lonely People, America, of A Horse with No Name fame and Ventura Highway and Sister Golden Hair. Yeah, that's out of your specialization. We'll hit a 50s or a 60s job next time. And I know I'm adapting the lyrics, mixing the lyrics up on purpose, but this is the lyric that I want to focus on. This is for all the lonely people, thinking that life has left them dry. Don't give up until you drink from the silver cup and ride that highway in the sky. Left them dry, maybe because they haven't drunk yet from the silver cup that is the font of living water, the very life of Christ, especially in the Eucharist. When we do that and we can bring others to do it, will end up riding that highway in the sky. The group America may not have known what they were singing about, but we know what they're singing about, right? The highway in the sky is heaven, isn't it? Absolutely. Is that you, God? He's saying, yes, absolutely, of course it is. God love you.